A new inclusive climate change solution? I'm NPR Chief Meteorologist Paul Huttner. This is ClimateCast. The Minneapolis Foundation has awarded its first round of grants designed to involve low-income, diverse communities in climate change initiatives. One of those is an effort from the City of St. Paul, XL Energy, and Our Car to bring shared electric cars and charging stations to lower-income communities. But what will it take to get buy-in from residents? Shamar Bibbins is Senior Program Officer at the Kresge Foundation, and she just wrapped up a nationwide effort to bring climate solutions to 15 low-income communities. She joins me via Skype. Shamar, thanks for taking the time to talk with us on ClimateCast today.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I've seen some polls that show people of color and low-income communities are really strong advocates of climate solutions. So I'm wondering, you know, what are the best methods that we can use to engage that support?
Absolutely. There's poll after poll after poll and study after study that shows that communities of color in particular are some of our strongest environmental advocates. I think the challenge is that these communities for a very long time have not been engaged in a way that connects the dots to their lived experiences. Communities of color, low-income communities, are disproportionately impacted by environmental hazards, cumulative hazards, and are often, you know, the first and worst hit by climate change. However, there's been a framing of climate that has not necessarily resonated with these communities. But when you engage these communities and really connect the dots to the economic, social, public health issues that they're facing every day, it's like, aha, of course, right? And they become your strongest advocates.
There's a project here in the Twin Cities called Our Car that would bring shared electric vehicles into low-income neighborhoods. And I'm curious how you view that kind of a green infrastructure project in a neighborhood versus more of a policy initiative at a broader level.
I think that having electric infrastructure in low-income communities is a good thing. I do think that there is a tension, right, across the country about how we do it. I think it's not what we do, right? It's how we do it. I think it's important to really get their voice around the best way, right, that we're deploying this type of electric vehicle infrastructure.
And we know that in this real estate and income scenario that we live in these days, you know, it's hard for a lot of people to find affordable places to live. So if we bring infrastructure into low-income neighborhoods, does the issue of gentrification become something we need to consider?
There are communities that worry and are actually afraid to bring green amenities into their communities. Because whether it's intentional or not, right, good intentions to bring transportation systems or transit-oriented development or what have you. However, it doesn't often allow the community to stay in place because housing rises and people can't afford to stay. So we have to figure out a way, making sure that as those amenities come into communities, that communities are able to stay in place.
You know, I'm always curious, Shamar, about the people I talk to in and around climate change. Tell us a little about your path to public engagement on climate change solutions.
I started my work in the environmental field in the mid-90s when I was still an undergraduate student at Vassar College. And I was doing some public engagement work. There was a young woman, probably wasn't much older than myself at the time. And, you know, I had my spiel and knocked on the door with my little script, and she stopped me midstream, as I'm sure anyone who's done canvassing knows. And she said, look, I don't have time. I have to feed my babies. And for me, that was an aha moment as a young person. And as an African-American woman in particular, I knew that if I was going to be about working in the environmental field, I wanted to do work that was impactful for communities and for people that look like me. And so I got really serious at that time.
Well, it's a great conversation. Shamar Bibbins, Senior Program Officer at the Kresge Foundation. Thanks so much for your perspective and insight on ClimateCast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's ClimateCast. I'm NPR Chief Meteorologist Paul Huttner.